Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, and welcome to a special edition of Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys. I'm your host, Joy Keys. I want to thank you so much for tuning in. You can follow me on Twitter, at Joy Keys. Also, check me out on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys, and on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keys. You can also email me. I'm at SaturdaysWithJoyKeys@hotmail.com. You can check the show out on Spotify, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Amazon Music, iTunes, as well as here at Blog Talk Radio. I want to thank you for all your support, sharing with friends and family. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Well, tonight, the reason I'm having the show tonight is because this young lady is a hot star right now on the Shy, Showtime's The Shy Show, Jasmine Davis. Good evening.
Hi, I'm super excited to be here.
Thank you so much for coming on this evening. I know you probably have a busy schedule. A lot of people want to talk to this new character that's come out. So I thank you again for coming on. Let's just start at the beginning. You know, how did you get the role? Like, who called you? You know, where did you go? What lines you had to learn? What was the deal?
Oh, yeah. Like, okay, so I have an agent and a manager presented this role to me at the time, and I wasn't sure if I was going to take it because I wasn't sure if I, you know, wanted to get involved with doing trans roles because I didn't want to get boxed in by Hollywood. So, you know, at first I was like, no, I don't want to do it. And then eventually, you know, being asked, you know, once or twice, I decided to read it, and I fell in love with the character. And Carmen Cuba, you know, who's the casting director, was, you know, she was casting for this part, apparently. And I would have thought they would have gave it away because apparently they've been casting for it. So I think I was late auditioning for it. And I, you know, sent in my self-tape, and then I went in for the audition and had a little producer session. And the next thing I know, all this happened like in 2 weeks. I'm getting ready to get on a plane and head to Chicago to start filming.
Now, isn't that crazy? You're from Chicago, right?
Yes, originally from here.
So you went to L.A., but then you end up getting fame on a show that's in your hometown.
How crazy and surreal is that?
Have
like,
you seen any
yeah,
of your friends and people?
This. Yeah, like I just started seeing family because things are opening back up and I'm not as isolated. You know, at first I had to be more isolated because of COVID rules and all the other madness that was happening in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But it's so great to be able to, you know, see my my best friend Andrea lives here. My sister Janika and my mom Lynette lives here with my brother Robert and my nieces and nephews. And my other brothers are, like, scattered out in the United States. So it was really awesome to be able to see, you know, my core people, you know.
Yeah, a lot of
people.
It
made me feel like, oh, my God.
That.
Huh?
A lot of people are dealing with that, you know, not being able to see their close family, but now being able to get close and travel a little because they might have gotten their vaccine and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're not alone in that, like, great feeling of reuniting. I mean, myself, my daughter, I'm able to hug my daughter and see her. Hopefully I'll see my mom soon. I haven't seen my mom since last February. So.
Oh, yeah, same. My mom was overjoyed when I got to see her. And, you know, it was great because this was the first birthday, and I think since I was a teenager probably, that I actually spent with my mom and my sister and my brother just a group of family members because I haven't spent a birthday with my family in years.
So now this character you mentioned in the beginning is a trans character. You know, some people may
mm-hmm.
not know what that means. Do you feel comfortable explaining what that means to the audience?
I do. So it's a difference between transgender and transsexual and LGBTQ+. So to some people, and I'm so glad you asked, don't know the difference and, you know, they don't really care to research to educate themselves. So if anyone listening,
right.
This is the breakdown, you know. So far as transgender and transsexual, a transgender is someone who, you know, tend to identify themselves with a certain gender. If they, you know, it's like, say, for instance, for me, I was born male. But, you know, I came out and I'm like, I want to be, you know, I feel more comfortable like living in the avatar of a woman. So I'm like, okay, so that will make me a transgender. But what makes me a transsexual is because I have a sex change. So, and people mm-hmm. don't know the difference. And then people don't know the difference because some people will say transvestite. Well, transvestite is someone who get a sexual kickoff just dressing up in female clothing. They don't have right. to identify themselves as a woman. They don't have to have a sex change. It's just some sexual kick that they have. And then you have drag queens, which are men who like to perform as women, or drag kings who are women who like to perform as men. Mm. And then you have, you know, and it goes both ways, you know, for transgender males, it's women who were born of women, and they feel more comfortable living in the skin of a male, and they decide to identify themselves as male, and that's their gender. Gender and sex is two different things. Gender is who you identify yourself with. Sex is what you have on your body. Like, for me, mm-hmm. it's both. Mm-hmm. Like, my gender is female, and my sex is also now female. And but if you're just a transgender and you're not a transsexual, your gender is what you perceive yourself as, like male or female, but your sex is still the same thing, which is probably your sex will still be on your birth certificate as what you were born as, basically.
You know, there's been a lot of news now. I mean, Pride Month, a lot of news comes out. But even before then, throughout the year and throughout the years, I'll say, you know, that trans women have been being killed and not being, mm-hmm. you know, represent, like the news glosses over it because their sex, what they were born as, was not a woman. Mm-hmm. So when they report it, it doesn't say this was a trans woman that got killed. They just sort of say it might have been a man, but it wasn't, you know. Mm-hmm. What do you think, why do you think people are so afraid of interacting or dealing with or being around people who are not like them, who are different, but not harming anything? Why do you think that is?
Because it goes back to racism. It's a reflection of yourself. Like, if you're that afraid of someone and you want to harm them, a part of them is a reflection of who you are as a person. Because mm-hmm. no secure person is that afraid of something that they're, you know, that's not a reflection of them. So I always say, when you have someone who is gay bashing someone or they're transphobic, something about them is triggered by that person, and they have to dig mm-hmm. deep inside to wonder, why are you triggered? Why do you care that this person decides, you know, this is a human being that decides to live an existence the way they want to live? What does it have to do with mm-hmm. you? It's not an attack on your existence. This is a human being deciding to live however they want to live. It has nothing to do with you. So when you take it personally, it's something in you, regardless of how you try to phrase it. No human being who has a problem, you know, with someone else, you know, can say that, you know, it's not in a reflection on them. Because if you don't care yes. and you're secure with yourself, you don't give a shit. Let's be honest. You don't care.
Right.
We all were right. born here to live and exist as how we should. Your religion doesn't matter. Your sex doesn't matter. How you want to live. Your color shouldn't matter. So it goes back. It's like racism. You know, when if someone is racist towards your skin color, something about them is triggered. What are you jealous of this person? Or do you like this yeah. person? Or do you identify with this person? What is it about this person that triggers you? Because they're not really doing anything to you at all but existing.
Yeah, they're minding their own business over here, and you just come over and want to attack them. And it's like, whoa, I didn't do anything to you, you know, to deserve this. Well, your character is with a cisgender, right? Is that how you would say it? Cisgender male.
Yeah.
And that character, he loves Imani just as she mm-hmm. is. And he's
exactly.
very confident in that, and I love that, and that, you know, they're trying to have this relationship, and it's showing that relationship is possible, Because some people, I'm sure, have fallen in love and thought, you know what, I can't do this. I don't know how the universe is, you know, the people are going to take it, my family, my friends, you know, whatever. But I think it's good to see on the shy this relationship, because I'm sure there are many other people who would like to have a relationship like Imani and Trigg, but maybe afraid, you know.
How has the response been? It's been great, and I'm so glad you say that, because that's what made me take the role. I was one of those girls who was fortunate. I've never dated someone who tried to hide me, you know. So being able to actually be that girl and play that girl, I'm like, that doesn't come around often in life. Like, I'm actually kind of playing myself when it comes to being able to be loved by a man who just sees you as this feminine energy and nothing else. And he dares someone to say something to you about it. All my boyfriends have always been like that. My fiancés have always been like that. I've never had a problem being loved for who I am as a person. So to be able to show that to other, you know, people in the world, you know, and it just doesn't inspire transgenders or LGBT people. I feel like that inspires other people to think outside the box, that, you know, if they see someone of a different color or a different shape or size, that they're, you know, they're scared someone is going to say something to them for loving a human being for who they are. You know, my hope is that I'm inspiring other people to just, love is a powerful tool. It's put here for us to share. Why take it for granted, and why let other people determine who you should love? This is your life. Live it. Love it. You know, do you. Because you're the only one that's going to regret it.
Exactly.
You're the only one that's going to regret it. They're not.
They're going to be doing whatever they're doing, and you're going to miss the opportunity. But talking about love, you know, people might want to know, how is it kissing Luke James? Because you know they want to know that.
I get asked that a lot. And to be honest, because I'm such a professional. That's one thing about me. So, you know, I will say being able to kiss an attractive person in general is better than kissing an unattractive person. And,
okay,
you know,
thank
beauty
you. I knew you
is
had
in, you know, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. So whatever you're attracted to, you know, and I don't have a preference. I'm attracted to energy and beautiful people in general. So it always helps when the person is attractive in your eyes. And him being an attractive male, it helps me, because I'm not one of those people. I don't like kissing people, you know, period. I'm not a very kissy person, you know, in general. Like, I can go on dates with people, but I'm not really trying to get kissed on unless I'm trying to really go there in my relationship. So it was difficult for me to kiss a stranger that I don't know. So it was like awkward for me. You know, it was very awkward to kiss a foreign person that I don't know. And I still haven't got used to it. And I don't think I will ever get used to kissing someone I'm not really dating, you know.
Right.
So I can't,
but that's
you know.
You.
I'm,
that's your
I'm,
personal.
Yeah.
Your
sorry,
personal,
women out
you know,
there. I'm
preference.
Sorry if I spoiled it for them. But, yeah, I'm just one of those weird people. It's awkward for me kissing anyone I'm not really dating. So I pretend to like that I'm in it. I hopefully I'm doing a good enough job that no one can tell.
Well, I think you're doing a great job. Let's talk about your costumes and your wigs and things. Who chooses those for you? Do you get an opportunity, or is everything just already laid out and they're like, this is what you have to wear?
Season 3 was like that. I didn't get a chance to pick. And season 4 was kind of like that with the hair. I just, Later in the season, I started getting options to choose my hair, which I think you should be able to, and choose your clothes. The designers, you know, we got this year, Shannon and Christina, and most of the stuff they picked out, I love, you know, because I always wanted to go fashion forward. I wanted to do more, you know, couture and look, you know, for Imani. So I can honestly say not one thing they picked out I did not like. So I was like, wow, you know, and I'm very opinionated, even if I don't have a choice, you know, I'm very opinionated with what I wear and what my hair is like. So moving forward, I'm going to have more, you know, say-so in what my hair should look like and what my wardrobe should look like. Because I feel like that's important, you know, unless you're doing a period piece, you know, you should have say-so in what you look like because that's your character. You're building this world, and you should feel comfortable.
Yeah, you know, African-American women a lot of times have problems with issues with hair because the industry has been more slanted towards, you know, white women. And so you might have people doing makeup and hair that don't know about, you know, may not have the products that can do your hair. And so a lot of women actually have worn wigs because they just don't have the time to be arguing or fighting, you know, with these makeup people on set.
I was going to say, that's a big issue. You know, I feel like they should have more people who do good wigs in these productions now, because you be seeing people on Instagram hair slayed. I'm like, why are they not working in production? Because I personally will never really wear my real hair. I would probably wear my real hair if we're doing a bun or something like that. But I will not damage my real hair when it comes to, like, being in this industry because, you know, you can fry your hair really bad.
Yeah. Let's talk about the set. How often are you in Chicago? How much is shot in Chicago? Is there stuff shot in L.A.? What's the split?
I wish it was shot in L.A., to be honest. Because it was so cold this year. It was freezing. I'm like, what the fuck? none of it's shot in LA at all. All of it's shot in Chicago. It's really the shy. It's really authentic, which what makes the show authentic, which what makes the people in Chicago love Maurice is shot here in the shy. Everything. And I love that. And, you know, I just didn't like shooting in the wintertime, but... But it's great, though. It's great to be able to, because it puts you back, it puts you more in that space, you know? It's not like Shameless, like some, I think Shameless, some parts of them were shot in L.A. and a lot was shot in Chicago. This is all shot in Chicago, and I think that's what makes this show special.
I was probably giving a lot of work to people in Chicago as well for extra work and, you know, PAs, different things. So I think the city really probably is enjoying that. Let's talk about the fact that I read somewhere, and I hope this is okay, that you have dyslexia.
Yes, I have dyslexia.
So how have you been able to overcome that to get into acting? Because acting, you have to read everything. You have to constantly interact and learn lines and things of that nature. How did you overcome that struggle?
I think at an early age, I think people have a misconception when it comes to dyslexia because it's different levels. Some people who have dyslexia can't read. I actually was one of the fortunate people who actually could read. Comprehending certain things, that's when it, you know, or having to, you know, certain things I just couldn't understand and I'm trying to figure out, that's when my dyslexia come into play. I think it's like, I forgot how many stages of dyslexia. But I'm between a level stage 1 and 2. It's not as bad as I can't read and illiterate. It's more so certain things I couldn't comprehend or I just couldn't grasp. But the pro about that is I can beat out the smartest people when it comes to certain things because my imagination being dyslexic is so strong and so big. The people who actually didn't have dyslexia couldn't comprehend certain things that I was able to comprehend. So I found the beauty, the gift in that. And I was like, huh. That's amazing. You would think this person be able to comprehend this. But then you find out, like, no, it's a beautiful gift to be dyslexic. Like,
wow.
Yeah, so many people, if you look research that are dyslexic in this business, like, and it makes sense now to me why.
So let's talk about your mentors. Did you have mentors along the way with your acting that supported you and helped guide you?
Actually, no. I didn't really have. I didn't have a lot of mentors. When I went to acting school, I had teachers that was good, but then I had a lot of teachers who sucked, who were not supportive, who, you know, will not lift you up and make you feel like you can do this. You know, that's a crazy world because so many teachers wanted to be actors and, you know, they sometimes are
they're
a little
taking
jaded
it out.
And they shouldn't be they shouldn't be teaching. But I didn't really have mentors until I would say like a few years ago, like when I went to, I would say Margie Haber Studios, how supportive they were. And Leslie Kahn, you know, those two were by far the most supportive studios that I went in that wasn't mm-hmm. playing the mind trick of beating you up, you know, beating you down just to build you back up and, you know, all that other BS. And I would say right now, Lena Waithe is a mentor. I look at her at, you know, what she came from Chicago. She did this. And we have a great relationship. She's been supporting me in my journey, you know, and that really helps because I don't think I could have done it without her, like trying to navigate this crazy industry, which is beautiful at the same time. I think the business side what makes it crazy, but the art of it is beautiful. And I love that part, but she's helping me. So she's like right now, her being a great mentor for me.
Who would you like to perform with? What actors or actresses would you like to perform with in the future?
Oh, that's a good question. Definitely Viola Davis. I would say Meryl Streep, Kathy Bates, Halle Berry, Angela Bassett. Oh,
Angela
God.
Bassett.
I would love to do something. Girl, I would love to do something with her. I would love to act with Zendaya as well and Zoe Saldana. What's her name? Michelle Pfeiffer. I know she don't really do as much, but ever since Scarface, I was like, oh my God, I would love to play in a role with her. seriously. Susan Sarandon is amazing as well. She's an amazing actress. Salma Hayek. You know, like these beautiful, strong, leading women. So, yeah, the list goes on. Also, when it comes to men, I would say one of my crushes I would love to play his wife is Chris Evans.
Really?
Yes. I have a huge crush on Chris Evans. I've always had. I would say I would love to play in a movie with
Chris,
him.
Give him a DM. Let him know.
Yeah, I would say him. Definitely Idris Elba. I would love to play in a movie with him. Denzel, Anthony Mackie. I think he's an amazing actor.
He's so underrated.
Getting his stuff.
He is completely
so
underrated. Anthony Mackie.
So underrated.
Yes.
Such an amazing, I would love to do like something like with him. Such an amazing, I forgot the guy name who played in Star Wars, the new Star Wars, the black guy. I forget, he's a British actor.
Oh, okay, from England. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I would love to play in something because I think he's amazing too. I would love to play alongside Michael B. Jordan because my sister has such a crush on him, and she said if I ever plan a movie with him, she would love to come up set. So I would love to do that for her.
Just for sister, not for personal
not for personal reasons at all, just for my little sister. And Reynolds.
Very benevolent. Oh, Ryan.
Oh, totally. Totally.
All right, so let's talk about this now. The guns. What's up with the guns?
Mm-hmm.
Now we talked it earlier. you go ahead. Talk about the guns just for a second. Tell the audience your deal. Okay, go ahead.
So basically, because I want to do action, I want to be a part of the Bond franchise. I want to be a Bond girl, and I want to be in a part of the Marvel family. I started getting into trying to do like stunt choreography, and I've always had a fascination with guns when it comes to gun shooting. After I got over my fear of guns, you know, once I learned that if you respect it and you are very responsible with it when you're shooting, you should be safe. And, you know, I will go gun practicing with some people and just, you know, it's just something that I end up loving. It just became a hobby of mine now, you know, and it's
so what's your favorite gun?
Adrenaline rush.
What's your favorite for mine is the, to use?
For mine is the Glock right now because of...
And why is that?
The fact that it's... Because it doesn't really jam as much. And I think a lot of police are going back to that because it doesn't jam as much. You know, it's easy to hold. And, you know, the Beretta is cool. The, you know, you have, I love, you know, the rifles. That's a fun gun, too. But it's something about the Glock for me, how it fits in my hand, how I'm able to control it more. And, you know, especially, like, if you're doing one of those mazes, and if you have one of those machine guns or one of those AR-15s and you're shooting, the Glock is more steady when it comes to if you have to pull it out really fast and you don't really have to worry about it jamming as much.
All right. It's been said. It's so let it be written, so let it be done. Today is June 9th, 7:25 or so. Action character for Jasmine Davis. It is out there somewhere in the universe.
Yes, we're putting it out there,
Because guess what? Yeah. I saw you went skydiving. You are, like, seriously into action. You went skydiving. How was that?
Yes,
and why did you do that?
Okay, so I'm going to be real honest with the fans. They're going to get a kick out of this. So my girlfriend at the time, me and her, she was, like, my home girl, like, you know, my compadre at the time. She hit me up, you know, she was dating this guy who was this millionaire. He had a friend, so I would always go with them, you know. So they was like, we're going skydiving, you want to come? And I was off. I'm one of those friends that they're like, we're doing this, you want to come? And I'm either yes or no. Mm-hmm. You know, there's no in-between. I'm like, oh, yeah, I've never done this. It's going to scare me, but I'll do it.
Right.
You know, and she's so hyped to do it and whatever. It's so funny because she was so hyped at the time to do it, but she was so terrified. So the scariest part for me, because we're sitting down watching a video, and it has this disclaimers, and, you know, you have to sign a waiver because basically if something go wrong, you can't sue them.
Sue them, yeah.
So when you're going up in a plane, it's becoming so surreal that you're about to jump off this plane. And my friend is starting to freak out, but she's the main one, you know, like, let's do it, blah, 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 we're in the plane. And I'm starting to get calm. Because the most scariest thing about it for me is because I was wearing a wig at the time and I forgot to sew my wig down. So I was more concerned.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
Didn't mean that anything else happened. When I told her later, she's like, "Are you fucking kidding me? That was your more. That was your main concern." I was like, "Yeah." But when we were on the plane or whatever, she started freaking out, crying and everything or whatever. And they was like, "What do you want us to do? Your friend is like, you know." I said, "Throw her ass off the plane. She'll thank me later." And she's like, "No, no." And they threw her ass off the plane, which she hugged me, cried, and thanked. And she's like, "I'm so glad you made them do that for me." And when they told me, they was like, "Are you ready?" I'm like, "Yeah, let's do this. I'm ready to go. Let's go." And we were up in the air or whatever, and when he pulled the chute, he let me hold it. He's like, "You're the first girl I actually let holding. You're the only one that I know so far hasn't really freaked out like that."
See? Look at there. Look at there.
Yeah.
Now, we only have a couple of minutes left, but I just want to ask you, I read or I saw you're into the shamanic healing and crystals.
Mm-hmm.
Where did that come from? How did that begin, and why did you get into it?
Well, I've always was on search of something on my spiritual journey. Even as a kid, I used to journal as a kid, and I used to, you know, like get signs of certain things. So it was always around me, and my ancestors was always around me. I just never was tuned in, and I didn't have the direction to get tapped in. And, you know, I come from a background where, you know, certain family members, you know, were Catholic, certain family members were Christians and around Muslims mm-hmm. and Jehovah's Witnesses. And, you know, religion never spoke to my heart. It never was true for me. It never spoke to me at all, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
I never can get into it no matter how much I tried. I've always respected other people's choice because I'm just that person. I don't judge. I don't care what you believe in because my thing is love conquers all. And then as I got older, and even more so with the pandemic, I started dabbling more. I started finding out about shamans. My last boyfriend, you know, kind of get me more into that and, you know, let me down the road of what a true shaman is. And I started doing more research of what shaman does. A true shaman helps you tap more into your ancestry lineage and help you. It's not about you depending on them. It's about them helping you tap into your higher self, tap into the messages that, you know, your angels and your guides are sending you. You know, they don't want you to be codependent on them. That's what a true shaman does. They're not there to take your money or there to, like, have you depend on them. They actually want to show you the way so you can show your family, you know, so you can be there healing for your family, your boyfriend, your girlfriend, your parents, so you can help them, you know, tap into their higher self and to the messages, because we all get the downloads. We all get the messages. A lot of us are just not conscious of what this message is or what role we should go down or, you know, who's protecting us. So I started dabbling more into that, and that connected with me instantly. It connected with everything I experienced in my life, because there's no mistake while I'm still here, because I experienced a lot of dangerous stuff that I got out of it unscathed. And I know my angels and my guides were watching over me, and my beloved ancestors have been watching over me, because I know they had their job cut out for them, honey. I know they're like, okay, Jasmine just, you know, she's about to start her day. Get prepared. She's going outside, y'all. Y'all know we have to have a full armor for her. So that's how I got into it, and I started diving more. Yeah,
I'm glad that you made it. I'm glad that you're here to be playing Imani. I wish you so much success with that role, and I'm so happy that people are into the role and also the relationship. And like I said before, I think there are a lot of people who would like to have a relationship like Imani and Trigg, but just didn't think that it could be possible. So now that it's on TV, as it is with you, I think it will really open up some doors for other people as well.
I really hope so, sis, because the more people are in love in this world, the less craziness is going on. Because when you're in love, let's be honest, all of us, when we're in love, no one's trying to hurt nobody. No one's trying to do anything. You're just with your lover. You're just trying to do y'all, and that's all that matters. So I just hope that really, you know, resonates with everyone.
Well, thank you for coming on the show tonight. I hope you have a great week. I'm looking forward to the next episode of The Chai on Showtime. Everybody, please check it out. It's an awesome show. If you need to binge, you can binge. You could be stuck in your house all weekend so that you can catch up. Definitely do it. It's worth it.
Yes.
Every episode is just crazy. Oh, real quick, just one quick thing. On this last episode, you were trying to help a young lady who was involved in human trafficking. And there was this line that your friends were like, you don't need to cross that. Tell me just personally, what do you think about that? Do you think that we need to go and help the women that are involved in human trafficking, or do you feel as though they're in there because they want to be in there?
No, like, come on, like, I'm so glad they gave me that, because I feel like absolutely we need to help them. They don't sign up for that shit. They don't say, oh, today, you know, I'm just going to give my body over to the strange man or woman and let them set me out. No, no woman does that, or no man does that. You know, they are kidnapped. They're manipulated by evil forces and evil people. And we're sitting back and, you know, we think, like, this ain't our problem. It is our problem, because this can be someone you know, or this can be someone that you know that's close to them. But in general, this is a human being who's been forced to do some sexual deviant stuff that they don't want to do from some evil, whatever, people. So I do think we should get involved. I do think sitting back and think like, oh, that's not our problem, that's a big problem, because if we start thinking that way, which a lot of us do, everything goes over everyone. And, oh, that's not my problem either. That's not my problem either. So how are we going to fix it, you know, if nothing is our problem? So I totally think, you know, we need to make it our problem, and I'm glad that people, you know, are starting to write it, like, you know, Lena Waithe, Justin and Hilmagrad and Showtime, and everyone is, you know, putting this on the platform. So I'm grateful for that, and I just want to say thank you for having me. Everyone, please tune in. Showtime, The Shy on Sundays. And, yeah, you can check me out at the Jasmine Davis. I have other projects coming out soon, and I hope everyone continues to support.
Well, thank you, thank you. Check her out. She's on Twitter. I know you talked about some, like, maybe a clothing line and some music coming out. Is that true, or is that what you were talking about?
It'll be out
okay.
soon. I have my clothing line, my little T-shirt clothing line coming out soon. They can check me out on Twitter and Instagram at the Jasmine Davis, and my music will be out in July. And my other TV show, Never Have I Ever, will be out in July as well.
Awesome, awesome. Well, you have a great evening, and thank you so much again for coming on the show this tonight.
Thank you so much, and much success to you as well.
Thank you. All right, talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Just got off the phone with actress Jasmine Davis from Showtime's The Shy. They come on Sundays. Check them out. You can check out Showtime's website to see the time in your area. Excellent, excellent show. Also, I want to let you know that I'm going to be doing some giveaways, so you want to keep an eye out. You can follow me on Twitter at Joy Keys. Also, check me out on Facebook, Saturday Mornings with Joy Keys, and on Instagram, Saturdays with Joy Keys. Thank you so much for tuning in, and check me out this Saturday. We're going to be doing a show about bipolar disorder. We're also going to be speaking with poet Hanif Abdul-Aqib. So tune in Saturday.
What if you were wearing something sexy? What if you were drinking? What if you made the first move? No matter what, sexual assault is never your fault. Support is available 24/7 through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Call 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's RAINN.org. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN, reminding you it's never your fault.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.